Sergeant Jalal welcomed us warmly, told us that we were joining a smart outfit, best in the fleet, in a taut ship, and didn't seem to notice our ear skulls. Later that day, he took us forward to meet the lieutenant, who smiled rather shyly and gave us a fatherly little talk. I noticed that Al Jenkins wasn't wearing his gold skull. Neither was I, because I had already noticed that nobody in Razik's Roughnecks wore the skulls. They didn't wear them because, in Razik's Roughnecks, it didn't matter in the least how many combat drops you had made, nor which ones. You were either a roughneck or you weren't, and if you were not, they didn't care who you were. Since we had come to them not as recruits but as combat veterans, they gave us all possible benefit of doubt and made us welcome with no more than that unavoidable trace of formality anybody necessarily shows to a house guest who is not a member of the family. But less than a week later, when we had made one combat drop with them, we were full-fledged roughnecks, members of the family, called by our first names, chewed out on occasion without any feeling on either side that we were less than blood brothers thereby, borrowed from and lent to, included in bull sessions and privileged to express our own silly opinions with complete freedom, and have them slapped down just as freely. We even called non-coms by their first names on any but strictly duty occasions. Sergeant Jalal was always on duty, of course, unless you ran across him dirt side, in which case he was jelly, and went out of his way to behave as if his lordly rank meant nothing between roughnecks. But the lieutenant was always the lieutenant, never Mr. Razik, or even Lieutenant Razik, simply the lieutenant, spoken to and of in the third person. There was no god but the lieutenant, and Sergeant Jalal was his prophet. Jelly could say no in his own person, and it might be subject to further argument, at least from junior sergeants, but if he said the lieutenant wouldn't like it, he was speaking ex cathedra, and the matter was dropped permanently. Nobody ever tried to check up on whether or not the lieutenant would or would not like it. The word had been spoken. The lieutenant was father to us, and loved us and spoiled us, and was nevertheless rather remote from us aboard ship, and even dirtside, unless we reached dirt via a drop. But in a drop, well, you wouldn't think that an officer could worry about every man of a platoon spread over 100 square miles of terrain. But he can. He can worry himself sick over each one of them. How he could keep track of us all, I can't describe, but in the midst of a ruckus, his voice would sing out over the command circuit, "Johnson, check squad 6. Smitty's in trouble." And it was better than even money that the lieutenant had noticed it before Smith's squad leader. Besides that, you knew with utter and absolute certainty that as long as you were still alive, the lieutenant would not get into the retrieval boat without you. There have been prisoners taken in the Bug War, but none from Razik's Roughnecks.